So, Hare Krishna. I would like to welcome all of you for this session of our coming into the presence of the divine couple. I believe by now you have all noticed this is a very, let me say, practice or experience-oriented class where I request you to enter into a meditational experience, which will be as good as you are willing to give yourself into the exercise. So, also those of you who were not here for the previous classes, I will make it easy by giving you summaries and helping you to enter the meditational experience. So, in the previous classes, we have introduced a few elements for all of you. The power of prayer, the power of meditation. Today we will go a little bit into the power of Kripa from the Brajvasis. And what this in particular is, you will know a little bit from this verse, which I have quoted already. Tanna marupa charitadi sukirtananu smrit yo kramena rasana manasi niyoja tishtan brajeta danuragi jananugami kalam nayat akilamit yupadesha saram. In this verse, we hear the essence of all instructions in our school, our parampara, the line of Srila Rupa Goswami. Here is the essence of all instructions. And I believe that today we will be able to enter into this essence of all instructions. And when you go into the sara, that is the essence, rasa, or the divine taste, becomes revealed very quickly. So here are the instructions. One should reside in Braj. Bang! Mm-hmm. Haribo, the lake is coming. The rasa is flowing. No, this is just Bisleri water. One should reside in Braj. One should carefully chant about Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. This means you engage your tongue, which is part of the body, by chanting and also by hearing about Krishna's name and form, qualities, his associates, and pastimes. And then smrit yo kramena, you should do the next step. Krama means a step. And this is a step which leads you into meditation. You should meditate about Krishna's name, form, qualities, associates, and pastimes. First comes the body, then comes the mind. It shouldn't be first comes the body, and then comes nothing else. No. We are spiritualists, my dear devotees. We have to also take our mind along the path, not just the body, not just eating prasadam, singing and dancing with your muscles. You must bring your mind to the practice. So this is the next step. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati repeats this again. You should finally come to the step where you can regulate all endeavors conceived of by the mind, all your activities and your thinking, in such a way that you develop love for Krishna by following the examples of someone who has fallen in love. I want to make this a little bit clear in a very easy to understand terms. When I was young, I had a cousin which I practically worshipped because he had played piano with the Rolling Stones. I was very, very much encaptured by his good achievement. So his name was Johannes Kemser. By now he is a professor of theology in Munich, a very, very respected man. But at that time he was really wild. So, because in our times, we sang songs like Born to be Wild and such things. He was a great role model for me. And one day he told me, I was still young and had not reached physical maturity, but I was getting there. My voice was breaking and small shadows of beard were sprouting on my upper lip. And so he told me, you know, what is really nice and what you have to learn now is to fall in love. And I thought I heard about it, but how do you do it? It's difficult to explain. Just watch me. Let's go to the beach. So we went to the beach, and I will give you the fine edited version of what happened then. He saw some ladies of means, and he went close to them. He started to talk. He started to offer them sweets. And he always looked at me if I got the lesson. I just didn't quite get it. And he was slowly making a contact where finally they talked confidentially. And after some time, he waved me and said, now come and see the atmosphere. And I felt something in the atmosphere which was unusual for me. It was a hot glowing atmosphere with a lot of rajagun. So afterwards he said to me, did you get the point? And I said, well, not quite. Then he said, just follow my example. When you are after 2 years, 3 years, just follow my example. And I did so. There was a great music event, and I took a box of sweet with me. I went to the music event. I singled out a lady of means and started to innocently give her a sweet, and then she liked the sweet, and then we talked, and all of a sudden I felt the same atmosphere as was there 2 years ago by my worldly teacher Johannes Kemser, who is now a professor of theology. I followed his footsteps, I did something, and I could feel a certain result coming, a certain human feeling arising which was not there before. So I know the brahmacharis will stone me if I continue further on this line. What I want to make very clear here, in a language which you all can understand, is following in the footsteps gives rise or can give rise to certain feelings which were not there before and which were even unknown to you. So in this text which tells us the essence of the instructions, the Sara, Upadesha Sara, we are encouraged to follow in the mood of the servants of Krishna. That is, we do what the servants of Krishna do in relationship to Krishna, and then as we do that, some feeling arises in the heart. This is the whole idea of Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He gives us a list of 64 activities which we can act out, which we can do. And as we do them with our mind involved in it, we will feel how we develop a feeling for Krishna. Let me ask you, who of you has performed an arati to Radha and Krishna? Please raise your hands. I think most of us. Let me now ask you, who of you have performed an arati while about Krishna, not by thinking about the circles and how am I in the fifth circle or the sixth circle, but by thinking about Krishna, Radha and Krishna? Please don't raise now your hands. I think you know where I'm getting it. If you would perform an arati by thinking and following in the example of those great souls who perform artis for Krishna, that is, by thinking lovingly about Radha and Krishna, what you would experience after some time is that a certain bhakti bhava, on a very initial stage, I now use the word bhava, I don't use it, I use it in the sense of feeling, not in the sense of the precursor to prema, bhava being the precursor to prema. If you follow a certain, this certain process by following or doing a service and placing your mind into the mindset of those who do it in the spiritual world, you would feel a similar type of feeling starting to come up into you, in your heart. This is why it says you must bring the mind into this. And what it means ultimately is you must follow the example of the great souls. Prabhupada said it, made it very simple for us because we are extremely new to these exalted thoughts. He said, just do as I am doing. You know. He gave us an example which makes it even more clearer. How by a certain activity which is done in a certain, by bringing your mind to it, a certain feeling will arise. He talked of the walking ability. When a child starts to walk, he has first of all no really idea what it means to walk, but he follows the grown-up people by you know trying to get on his little legs and then moving like the grown-up people move, and then usually in the beginning they fall on their sweet baby behind, you know, and start to cry, and then you have to encourage them. You did just a little mistake here, and you know, try again, and then they try again, and then that inherent potentiality which rests in every small human being as a seed, you could say, becomes aroused and empowers the baby to eventually walk. My dear devotees, if we would try to find one philosophical term for a human being. We could most probably give many philosophical terms, but today I want to give you one. I would say huge potential. Each one of you, you know, is a huge potential. Sometimes I would like to address you like this. Oh, Mr. Huge Potential. Oh, Mrs. Huge Potential. This is what describes you. There's something inherent in you, some capability, some possibility, which is not yet manifest, but which will manifest the moment you apply the right process. So here, to develop, let us concentrate on the task ahead of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We wish to develop love of Godhead. This potential we want to tap. And it will rise in us if we, just like the baby, begin to follow those who walk already in that land of the potential. The baby follows the grown-up people and then starts to move his legs, no longer kicking while lying on the back, but then turning on the back and then kicking the legs or walking the legs in some ways, and it starts to walk. In the same way, if we can learn from the activities of the great souls and do the devotional processes in that particular mood, our particular love of Godhead will develop. But for this, you must really want to develop, to enter the land of love. You must really want to, in a way, exit the land of sense gratification. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati spoke about following the Brajavasis and becoming instructed even by them. He says, we cannot attain the residence in the real Vrindavan, the kingdom of God, without the mercy of the Brajavasis. That means those who stay already there, who know the traffic rules. That's not Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's my word. You know how to act there. But then he asked, but why should the Brajvasis, Krishna's dear associates, speak to us? As long as we are covered with pride and envy, they will not listen to what we pray. And if we have no attachment for them, they will not speak to us. Why should the Brajavasis, who are engaged in eternal spiritual pastimes, speak to us? What they will say is, ah, you are searching for material pleasure. Has Krishna become a material object for your pleasure seeking? So let us make it very clear. In order to make contact to these highly exalted souls and get some of their mercy, we have to exit the land of sense gratification and enter the land of service. And because this is very important in our understanding of Braj Vilas Stava, I want to now go directly into this point. I have introduced yesterday, for those willing souls who were ready to enter into a new space, a simple meditation. We have done a little breathing. In all types of meditations, usually one goes over the breath. That's why Sanatana Goswami says, before you chant your Gayatri, do a few pranayamas. That helps the mind to calm down and be peaceful. But see, Whereas the end goal of meditation for a yogi is shanti, the end goal of meditation for a bhakta is seva. Let me repeat this again, because it's important. Whereas the end goal of meditation for a yogi is shanti, peace. The end goal or the goal of meditation for a bhakta is divine service. It's a different concept, Adipurusha. I'm saying Adipurusha because he is an accomplished master of meditation secretly. Very important. The higher reality will reveal its glory to us. At the moment where they see that we are entering the service mode. And I would therefore now like to read to you a little about Krishna's servants, how they feel. Is this a good idea? After all we have heard, we should follow in the footsteps of the great souls, so let's do it. This is our Shastra. This, as I said, is a very practical oriented seminar. So we will now hear about Krishna's servants and just understand something of their mood. Please get your little book out of your pockets and go to text 37. Premna ye parivantane na kalita seva sadaivotsuka. Premna ye parivantane na kalita seva sadaivotsuka. Guru vyana paramadarena satatam dasavayasyopama. Namadadanena satatam dasavayasyopama. Vangsidapanadutyavari vilasat tambula vinadibi. Vangsidapanadutyavari vilasat tambula vinadivi. Prane shamparitoshayanti paritas tan patri mukhyan bhaje. Prane shamparitoshayanti paritas tan patri mukhyan bhaje. I worship Shri Krishna's servants, such as Patri, who always satisfy Krishna by offering him his flute and mirror. These servants act as messengers. They offer him water and betel nuts mixed with camphor. They play musical instruments like the veena. And they always render various other services with love and affection, using their body, mind and speech. They are always eager to perform such services for his pleasure. Without looking at your text, let us make now a little check if we have learned so far to listen to not only hear, that is, have sound vibration move our eardrums, but if we have already learned to listen, that is, add to this process the receptive mind by just observing our hearing and then grasping the concept and bringing them home into the core of our heart, our mind. This is very loud today, the tambura. So what do the servants of Krishna do? They carry a flute to Krishna, a mirror, betel nuts, water. I think you said the right thing, but I couldn't hear you because of sound vibration. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What? They use mind and speech. They are messengers. Yes, I know you can remember everything. Anyone else? Asim, what do you remember? Do the servants do? They work for Krishna's pleasure. Wonderful. Vadai ho, vadai ho. See, all living entities are constitutionally Krishna's servants. But the servants of Braj are special. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says they don't see him as God. But they also don't see him in the same way friends see him. They need to see Krishna to be in a service mood with some feeling of awe and reverence. They don't see him like Krishna's friends who jump on his shoulders. They could never do this. They see him as the son of the king who's very qualified and powerful. This is how the servants of Krishna see Krishna. Krishna's servants are described in one verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Welcome, welcome. They keep their eyes slightly lowered and they follow all the orders of their Lord. Krishna says, bring me this, bring me that. And the servants immediately take his order as their life. They are extremely trustworthy and they have a very humble attitude towards Krishna, considering Krishna to be their Lord. Let us recite some of the blissful names of Krishna's servants. Raktaka, Patraka, Patri, Madhukanta, Madhuvrata, Rasala, Suvilas, Premakanda, Marandaka, Ananda, Chandrahasa. It means the one who smiles like the moon. Bayoda, Bakula, Rasada. There's a particular endearing scene described by Rupa Goswami which describes you a little bit how the servants feel in relationship to Krishna. You have to wind the time a little bit forward and imagine the time the sun is beginning to descend on the ladder on the western horizon. And as the sun descends, it colors itself in a reddish garment. You know, changes dress for every occasion. You need to dress properly. So the sun dresses for the dusk time. And Krishna returns to Braj, but the Brijvasis who have been longing and pining for his return, Guna Avatar Prabhu, Hare Krishna. The Brijvasis have been longing for Krishna to return. are not yet able to see Krishna because there is a large dust cloud moving, which comes from Krishna's cows, who have split Mother Earth with their sharp hooves, and now the dust rises. Mother Earth would cry, but she is horripilating in ecstasy because Krishna walks with his soft lotus feet over the wounds which the cows have created with her, their hooves. So there's no problem for her. So the servants of Krishna, some servants of Krishna have stayed back for this moment, and they begin to see the cloud in the distance, the dust cloud, moving towards Braj. So they begin to talk to each other. Oh, Bakula, quickly wash this yellow silken dhoti. Krishna will need to change into it. Oh, Varida, scent this water with the most excellent aguru perfume. Krishna will need this water to take a bath and then smell sweetly. Oh, Rasala, I beg you, quickly prepare bitter leaf. Quick, quick, make haste. So you can imagine the servants are in their service camp. All of a sudden the dust cloud comes. And they remember that soon they will be able to serve Krishna. They become overwhelmed with a fresh wave of love, you know, anticipating the meeting with their master, their glorious master, which enters into their heart and immediately becomes transformed into a service attitude. They want to rush forward to go to Krishna. And other services which they divide amongst themselves is, as we have learned from this verse, they carry Krishna's flute. Now you must know, Krishna is an extremely dexterous, accomplished, and skilled flute player. And a skilled flute player needs many flutes to express what is in their heart. You can see our Chitra. She has a box with flutes, but Chitra, in comparison to Krishna, let us not make a comparison. It would not express. But it is Krishna is inconceivably more of a talented flute player than any human being can be. So Krishna has a whole, in German you would say Schrank, in India you would say Almira, and in English you would say, oh my God, what is it? A cupboard, but it can be sealed. It's not an open cupboard like a library shelf. What? A closet, you're right. And there he has a vast variety of flutes in it, which he requires for certain occasions. For instance, to call the cows, he uses a small leaf flute sometimes, which has a very, very high sound. You know, it goes really a long distance flute. To call the gopis, he uses the Murali flute, which has very deep modulations. Can you play a modulation? Is that the English word? That you get the idea. What is a modulation? Can you get the idea? It's it's not one sound. They say that's the magic in a good singer's voice. There are different nuances. It's not just you know, one thing. There are many words in the good singer's voice. So the Lord, when he plays his flute, it's not just a melody like you play on an harmonium where modulations are not possible. It goes from one sound to the next. No modulation, right? No ooh, no formula, no transformation of the sound, no sound, sweet rice, you know, nothing, you know. So Krishna requires many flutes for different purposes, and his servants are there carrying these flutes for him. And then Krishna said, give me this, they give it. They carry different messages from the elders. By the way, Krishna's servants also serve, this is quite important, this little detail, Nanda and Yashoda and the other devotees of Krishna. They do this. It's an important detail which we learn. They offer water when Krishna is thirsty, and betel nuts which they mix with camphor. And by the way, some of them are first-class musicians. They play instruments like the veena. Oh, that is Gaura Nataraj, what you wanted to indicate when you played. I thought you wanted to, you played a guitar. That's why I did it. No, veena. I'm sorry. Gaura Nataraj was a punk musician, so I thought this would not be appropriate. Yes. It's interesting how they perform these services. Their service, and you will learn in a little while, what is their inner mood. But I now want to make a point which is very important. I learned this from Devamrita Swami, who gave, in my eyes, a very excellent presentation in one of the Black Sea festivals, where there are like 4,000 devotees assembling every year. And he said, he read us from the Chaitanya Charitamrita sections, where it's clear how all the associates of Krishna have a little of this bath of the servants imbued into them. In other words, Yashoda serves Krishna, Nanda Maharaj serves Krishna, Krishna's friends serve Krishna in an extraordinary way. They half eat a fruit. No, this is not fit to be offered. Throw it, and then they eat another fruit. Ooh, this is sweet. And they give it to Krishna in his mouth. But they think of this as a service to Krishna. The gopis, when they are fully dressed and they look so stunningly beautiful, they think this beauty is cursed. This beauty is not valuable because it is not used in the service of Krishna. In all the rasas, in other words, except the shantaras, which therefore in our line we don't accept this as something we should aspire for, the mood of service is there. Do you understand? It's not that the gopis want to enjoy Krishna, or that Nanda and Yashoda want to relish Krishna as their primary concern. They want to serve, and the relish and everything comes in the highest degrees by entering into this mood. This is very, very important. It's also the mood, and maybe the only mood, which we can, as conditioned souls, learn here in this world in order to enter our rasa. If you have not learned to be an Atma Samapana Sevite, or a self-surrendered servant, forget about rasa. It just does not work. And I'm saying this with a lot of, after doing a lot of research work. Some of you know that, now I can say it, I lived for over a period of 10 years every month in Radhakund, and I'm very much aware of, you know, the of other processes of devotional service. I'm very much aware of the attempts of sadhakas to relish Krishna, and I Westerners are also often trying this, but they don't get anywhere, because see, this is about seva. Bhakti is a seva vritti, or a wave in the heart which is full of seva. And it is this mood which you can cultivate in this world. It's this mood in which the spiritual master will train you. It's this mood which, as it becomes deeper and deeper, will qualify you for your rasa, your own individual relationship and service. It's very important. This is the door. So therefore I said, when we do these verse meditations, we do it different than those who perform meditation in attain shanta. What the end goal of meditation for a yogi is shanti, perfect shanti. For a bhakta, it's seva, service. And I will do in a moment a very safe service meditation. But here we learn how the servants of Krishna do this with love and affection and in great eagerness. Service gives you life if you are eager to perform service, and if you think with affection on Krishna while you do it. Sridhar Swami says, service can only be service, be called service, when you make a sankalpa before you go into the activity that I'm offering this to Krishna. When you do preaching, preach for Krishna. When you cook, fix in your mind, now I'm cooking this preparation for Krishna. He will like it this way. Don't just blindly, mindlessly do some things and then after you have done it, go to the altar. That would be karma yoga. I mean, not exactly karma yoga, but it would be tinged with karma. This is Sridhar Swami's point. Only when before you do a service, you fix your mind and bring your mind, I'm doing this now for the pleasure, then you will also you remain Krishna conscious. My dear devotees, some of us come from a rajasic background, and when we engage in the activities in our mission and we don't think of Krishna, we could become overcome by the mode of passion and lose it and quarrel with devotees and become hard-hearted and become difficult, fanatic, institutional puppets. That could happen. So this bringing the mind to this and offering it with love and affection gives the life which is necessary for those who want to awaken to a new life, the life of bhakti. So now, my dear devotees, we will do something special. Are you ready?
Yes.
What means the words when we say you do something special for you? It could mean something which you have not done before, and I want to guide you into this today. You have agreed without asking me, what do you mean by this? Please don't do this the next time. I would like to... To go to recite with you again the verse, text 35, and then explain to you a little bit about Yamuna Mayi, and then request you to do your own meditation of but I will guide you a little bit into it. So please open your book on text 35. You must first of all know that there are three persons which Jiva Goswami has singled out which help a devotee in his bhakti. He says all who are devotees of Krishna will always be helped by three personalities: Yamuna, Vrinda and Purnamasi, even though they may not see these personalities. These personalities are here in Vrindavan, and if they see that there's someone who needs help, who is a devotee of Krishna, they will come in an invisible form and help them. If you want to read about this beautiful spiritual truth, please go to the Gopal Champu first part, 15th chapter, verses 121 to 122. So we will again read now about Yamuna, who is especially merciful. Muda dada Krishna prachuda jalake lirasibarasabara. Nada Krishna prachura jalakeli rasabara skalat kasturi tat kushina ganashachka chita jala skalat kasturi tat kushina ganashachka chita jala pramodato fena smitam uditam urmi sputakara omodato fena smitam uditam urmi sputakara shriya sinchantiva pratayatu sukam nastaraniya hiya sinchantiva pratayatu sukam nastaraniya. In your mind's eye, please go to the sacred river Yamuna and listen to this glorification. May the daughter of the sun god, Kalindi, increase my happiness. Her water has become fragrant and colorful because of the deer musk, kumkum and sandalwood pulp that had been washed from the bodies of Sri Sri Radha Madhava in the course of their water sports. She playfully and gently splashes water on the transcendental limbs of Sri Sri Radha Krishna with her hands in the form of her waves. Hare Krishna. Here Raghunath Das Goswami must have described a scene which he had earlier heard from Swarup Damodar, or possibly even from Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself. This scene is written about in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It describes how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this with his eyes. You know, he had been at the bank of the ocean of Puri, and then in great transcendental emotion he had seen that the ocean of Yamuna and the ocean of Puri is the Yamuna. It reminded him of this. He went, to talk in esoteric terms, into a parallel reality, a parallel world. The spiritual world is always parallel to the material. So he had gone there, and he had, but with his body, he really entered the ocean. With his mind, he entered, or he came to the Yamuna. So his body was taken by the ocean of Puri and its strong current, which washed the body into the high sea. There in the distance was a fisherman who had a lamp on his boat, like you can see today, which he used to attract the fishes so that he could fish them in his net. So Mahaprabhu's transcendental golden body was just taken by a current, washed out into the sea, and brought into the net of a fisherman. Now the fisherman saw how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body was there, and he couldn't recognize. It was glowing in the darkness, and he thought, this is a very powerful ghost. So he immediately began to chant Namaste Narasingaya, the Nrisimha mantra. But as Mahaprabhu's ears heard the Nrisimha mantra, he became more restless and more excited in transcendental bhava. So the fisherman thought, this is the most powerful ghost. I chant a mantra to resist his influence, but this mantra makes him more powerful. Hare Krishna. So then he touched the body of the Lord by trying to get rid of it, or so, and then he became totally maddened with transcendental love of Godhead. And later he was found on the beach of Puri by the devotees who looked for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body by now was on the beach, and the devotees chanted into his ear the Maha Mantra and brought him out of his Anta Chaitana, his inner consciousness, and to a consciousness which was not yet the Maya consciousness, the external consciousness, which was in between, where Mahaprabhu was somewhat here and somewhat still in the transcendental dimension of his visions. So at that time, Mahaprabhu told the devotees what he had seen in that transcendental dimension. And this is recorded here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I wish to read you a little bit so that you can be impacted by Mahaprabhu's strong language. Lord Krishna was in the water of the Yamuna, in the company of the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani. They were performing pastimes in a great sporting manner. Oh, I saw this pastime as I stood on the bank of the Yamuna in the company of the gopis. All the gopis entrusted their silken garments and ornaments in the care of their friends, and they put on fine white cloth. Krishna took his beloved gopis with him and bathed and performed very nice pastimes. And then Gauranga Mahaprabhu describes this, how they were splashing each other's. He describes how the gopis looked like streaks of lightning which had fallen into the water but not been extinguished, but who were glowing and having a huge effulgence. Huh? And he says how Krishna resembled the blackish cloud. And he says, a fight began. They splashed water on one another Then they fought. Thousands of hands splashed water and the gopi saw Krishna with thousands of eyes. With thousands of legs they came near him and they kissed him. With thousands of faces, thousands of bodies embraced him. The gopis heard his joking words with thousands of ears. And then he describes how clever Krishna took the best of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani, into deep water. So that Radha, who lost the ground under her feet, grasped his neck like someone grasped an inflated tire to save his life from drowning. So then Krishna swam with Radha, who held fast to his neck, to the shallow water. And then Gauranga says, Krishna expanded himself into as many forms as there were gopis. And then he quickly took away. You have to read all this. It's very good. What he took away, you will read. Gauranga talks about these pastimes in great ecstasy. And then he ends, suddenly all of you created a great tumult, picked me up and brought me back here. Where is the river Jamuna? Where is Vrindavan? Where are Krishna and the gopis? You have broken my happy dream. So in the course of his description, Gauranga Mahaprabhu also said how Radha and Madhava had splashed each other. And that had washed the musk, kumkum, and sandalwood from the body of Radha and Krishna, which was now floating in the Jamuna. Hare Krishna. So this, now I want to, we go into the exercise. Let me first of all ask you, have you ever lighted a lamp? Yes, because you need to know how to do this. See how I do this? Please don't think I think you are not highly sophisticated, intelligent people, and I need to make it that simple that I have to. No, I'm creating an image in your mind. That's all. My dear devotees, may I have a quick show of hand? Who has visited the banks of the Yamuna? Oh, this is the majority. Can I just ask who has not visited the banks of the river Yamuna? Roland and Eduardo. There's only two. What have you seen at the Yamuna? Can we hear some descriptions, please, in one sentence? I think Bhurijan Prabhu wrote once on his mailing list a very nice description of the Yamuna. I don't remember that sentence. How is it at the Yamuna? Can we hear? She looks like Krishna. Sorry? Deep and calm. So you have been in a boat in the Yamuna and seen that it's deep? Okay, she got there. She is deep. Yes. Deep and calm. You can't come out of it once you're in. Well, you are very advanced. I jump out of it when it's winter time. Yes. I only come here in the winter time, and after all the retreats I go to Jamuna, Ji and Vrindavan. Anyone else? Yes. All the bridge Basis are worshipping here. Yes. With water and lamps. Yes. Syam Prabhu, how is the Yamuna? Yamuna's water is made up of drops of perspiration which comes off from the body of the gopis and Krishna. Wonderful. Thank you. Adi Purusha Prabhu. Yamuna's water wash off all material lamentations. Srimati Radharani disappeared yet, but we look for, how is Yamuna? Yes. Full of Krishna Prema. Patri. Yamuna is embracing Vrindavan. Especially we see in Keshigat. In the spiritual Yamuna, I shouldn't say like this, everything is spiritual here, but this is called Boma Vrindavan, and that is called Goloka Vrindavan. She is surrounding Vrindavan, the yoga pit of Vrindavan, on three sides, and then there is a channel so that it makes four sides. She's embracing, therefore. Yes, that I think, can we all relate to this very peaceful and calm? When we sit there, some of that peace and calmness enters our heart. We cannot avoid, we don't want to avoid, but it comes. If you ever are moody and mental, Matajis, if this ever happens to you, or my dear man, go to the Yamuna. Take some trusted friends with you, go to the Yamuna, and she will cure all this. She even washes away all sinful reactions. Just as you look at her, you become so relieved, in other words. And if you perform sadhana, some spiritual practices, Yamuna Mai becomes pleased, and you can feel you can feel some deep satisfaction entering into your heart, which is a blessing of her. Burijan Prabhu. There's a great tree in Bandiravan, and its branches extend over the river Yamuna, and the cowherd boys play on these trees, and it's filled with lotus flowers, says Bodhidharma Prabhu. A nice breeze. Wonderful. So all of you have some idea of the Yamuna. Now, kindly sit tall. Sit tall means, it's an American expression, it's you sit straight. Please, I will tell you a few things. In the Sanat Kumar Sanghita, which is a highly praxis-oriented spiritual work, you will find an introduction to the Hare Krishna mantra and two other powerful mantras. And it says, this mantra should be chanted with a certain meditation. Jayat Brindavane Ramye Gopa Gopiya Alankrite Kadamba Padapa Jaye Yamuna Jala Sitale Radaya Sahitam Krishnam Vangsi Badana Tatparam Tribanga Lalitam Devang Bhaktanu Grahakarakam. The dhyan means meditation that accompanies this Maha Mantra, which is the Hare Krishna Mantra, is, see, Krishna is sporting in the cooling waters of the Yamuna, or you find him in the shade of a kadamba tree in the beautiful Vrindavan forest. So Krishna is ornamented or surrounded by the cows and the gopas, is accompanied by Sri Radha. He is very skillful at playing the flute as he stands in a charming tribhanga pose, bestowing mercy and kindness upon the bhaktas. So I request you, let us sing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for a moment. And as you sing, I will tell you a few things.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
May the daughter of the sun god, Kalindi, increase my happiness. Her water has become fragrant and colorful because of the deer musk, the kumkum, and sandalwood pulp that had been washed from the bodies of Sri Sri Radha Madhava in the course of their enjoying water sports. Yamuna playfully and gently splashes water on the transcendental limbs of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna with her hands in the form of her waves. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama Hare Hare.
There at the Yamuna is a beautiful throne where Radha and Krishna sit surrounded by their sakis and the cows. I request you to light a lamp, and while you sing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, wave that lamp like you would do an arati to Radha and Krishna. If you don't have an image of Radha and Krishna, think of deities which you know. Think of our deities, Radha Govinda. If nothing comes, just think of Yamuna Mai. Offer the lamp to Yamuna. Sing please now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jamuna Ji, 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 Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan.